Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, 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 everybody. Welcome to another Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, July 31st. The big gay road trip has begun. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Scott Fullerton. I appreciate you tuning in today. I am actually on the road from Youngstown, Ohio to St. Louis, Missouri. Our first day of our hashtag big gay road trip. I hope you're following along. My buddy and intern Sam is in the control booth today running the boards. I have a fantastic interview for you today. It's all new, pre-taped it this past Friday. It's with the creators, producers, and co-star of a fantastic new series called 365 Days of Love Letters. And it's a fantastic. They have a YouTube clip on it now for the trailer. And they have an Indiegogo campaign they're putting together to finish up the series. And it's got about 12 days left on it, so you really need to get out there and support this. It has some fantastic perks. We're going to talk all about it in just a few minutes, but I just want to go ahead and get into the road trip a bit. Like I said, tonight I am driving, as you listen to this, to St. Louis, Missouri. Be staying there tonight, visiting Hamburger Mary's, of course, a fantastic gay-owned and operated restaurant chain. Mom and I are going to be driving through to Palm Springs. We will get there on Saturday. Tomorrow we will be in Oklahoma City. Thursday we will go to Albuquerque. Friday to Phoenix. And on Saturday we arrive in Palm Springs, California, where I will be doing 4 weeks of live radio shows every Monday and Tuesday with some fantastic guests driving in from L.A. and all over the place. People like Frank DeCaro and Jim Colucci and Alexander Rodriguez, Nolan Roberts, Terry Ray, and Mel England. We're having the mayor of San Francisco, guys, is going to welcome us to the city on the very first show. We have a web series, Where the Bears Are, all sorts of fun things coming on. Emerson Collins and Blake MacGyver from The People's Couch and A Very Sordid Wedding will be by. It's going to be a great time. We're going to talk with some different organizations in and around Palm Springs. We have some special restaurants coming in to cleanse our foodie palate and try some different things in Palm Springs. If you are going to be out in Palm Springs or would like to go out to Palm Springs, we're staying at the fantastic Indulge Resort. That's www.innduge.com. The Indulge Resort is a gay men's clothing optional resort, as there's 14 of those in Palm Springs, believe it or not. Our hosts make it very comfortable with a nice continental breakfast every morning. They have a happy hour every evening, and it's a good time had by all. They have a summer special going on Sunday through Thursday for just $99 a room. I will be there all August from the 4th till the 28th, doing live shows every Monday and Tuesday. After the show on Tuesday, it'll be 2 to 4 p.m. local time. After the show, we're going to be doing a happy hour pool party from 4:30 to 6, where my guests are going to be bringing some of their little goodies to give away as prizes. We'll have some fun games and trivia, so I hope you'll come join us there. I want to thank a couple of our partners while we're out in Palm Springs. We have 3 great foodie restaurants, and we're looking for more, but Just Tapas is coming by our first Monday to drop off some food and talk about their restaurant. Salads in a Jar is coming by our Tuesday the 7th to talk about their business. And we have the incredible 849 restaurant coming by Monday the 13th, and adding more every day. We're going to be talking to people from the escape room, from movie theaters, all over the place. So thanks for everyone that's supporting the show. But let's go ahead and get ready to jump right into it. Sam, I appreciate you running the controls today. And Sam will be working the show every Tuesday, the first 2 weeks of Palm Springs for me, while we have some great times down there. And then he is off to school. But let's go ahead and get going. We're going to play a little bit of Steve Grand. This is from his new album, and it's called Disciple. When we come back, we'll be talking to the creators, producers, and co-star of 365 Days of Love Letters right here on the Left of Straight Show.
Jesus be my daddy, father my light, walks through my dreams, draped in white, like a child, like a child. I ain't scared of dying when I'm living the circle, be a loyal disciple till I get my fix. Desire.
Alrighty, friends, we are back. That was Steve Grand with one of his new hits off the new album, Disciple. But guys, I'm very excited. We're now going to talk to the creators and co-star of a new television series that, since teasing its premise on YouTube, has had over 20,000 views in just its first couple of weeks. It's called 365 Days of Love Letters. It's starring actor and singer Chris Salvatore, YouTube and social media sensation RJ Aguiar, and actress Caitlin Guerrieri, who's appeared on Grey's Anatomy and had a recurring role in All My Children. The series was created by Kyle Thomas and being produced by the fantastic Jessica Bryant. Let's not wait any longer and talk to them all, guys. Welcome to the show, Kyle, Jessica, AJ, RJ. How are we doing, guys?
Well, I don't know where AJ is, but I'm right here.
Well, I'm doing great.
Thank
doing
you for
great.
That.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
I was going through a Backstreet Boys flashback or something, RJ. Sorry about that. It happens from
That's
time
to time. That's fine. You know, my mother has literally called me AJ before, so you're fine.
Oh, my goodness. That's so crazy.
Funny.
Well, guys, I'm excited to talk about this new series. I'm so proud of you guys for putting this together. This teaser is amazing. It's getting huge likes, reviews, listens to, and everything. What's it feel like to get all this acceptance so quick?
Well, so actually, we've just had it online for a little over 2 weeks now, and we're reaching about 60,000 views between all of the platforms. So that includes YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. So it's been really wonderful to, you know, have a lot of people, you know, check it out and get excited about it. And, you know, I feel like all of us are really honored and flattered that, you know, people are sharing it and talking about it a lot.
That is awesome. And we're right now in the middle of a big Indiegogo campaign to finish the entire series. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But let's start from the beginning, guys. First time on the show, I'd like to get a little background. Kyle, you've become a social media guru. You've worked from fashion to film to building brands with your own company. Talk a little bit about where you grew up and a little of your backstory, and how did you get to where you are today?
So I'm originally from the Midwest. The Midwest is very dear to my heart, and I've been involved in entertainment pretty much since I was born. And as soon as I was born, I was creating art and, you know, working with people, and, you know, even with my cousins, you know, I would actually be writing plays and directing them. And so I've always had this urge to make things happen. And so, you know, throughout my life, you know, it kind of grew and developed and evolved. I acted a lot when I was really young, and eventually I started writing novels as well. So it was plays and all sorts of things like that. I wrote my first novel when I was 14, and, you know, I think the big thing that has really got me to be where I am is that I've had really wonderful mentors and people that have lifted me up and believed in my talent and, you know, my intellect and passion, and really helped facilitate that. And so, you know, eventually I actually left acting. That hasn't been something that I've been doing, you know, pretty much at all. And I really got involved in film because when I was acting, I wasn't really getting cast in a lot of theater. And in the Midwest, there's a lot of theater. And I was actually cast in a lot of films,
right,
which was bizarre to me because I really wanted to be on stage and do that. But, you know, I kind of married my writing talent and, you know, my understanding of how to work with actors and direct with my producing as well. So I actually created a production company in Chicago after college, and it was a really wonderful experience because I had a lot of executives and, you know, pretty big people in entertainment also take me under their wing and, you know, see some light in me, which was really a blessing and really opened up a lot of doors for me. And so, you know, through that process, I eventually moved to L.A., and, you know, one of the big things that has also led me to, you know, be where I am with this project is the incredible team that I, you know, just kind of authentically connected with. You know, Jessica and I, we connected this year. You know, RJ and I, we connected about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. I can't even remember. It was at a function? It was like some sort of, like...
It was a birthday party.
It was a birthday party, yeah. God, it's. I mean, there's a lot of alcohol involved, so it's kind of a blur.
as happens in Hollywood and L.A. Yeah, of course.
Totally.
And Jessica, let's get to you for a second. Jessica, you've produced everything from television to short films to film features. Give me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up, and what got you interested in the show business?
Well, I think I was pretty similar to Kyle. I'm a Texas girl. My daddy is a cattle rancher. I do know how to ride a horse. At a very young age, I was already starting to write plays and put them on during recess and during school. I kind of always wanted to be an actress, and then it just wasn't fulfilling anymore. I just didn't like it. And then in college, I had a directing class and a producing class, and I was like, I felt something that I had never felt for acting. I'm like, this is it. It was definitely a while back, and you know that they're just now talking about women filmmakers, but I've had to come up and I've had to make stuff happen because, you know, I was passed over a lot. So it just made me more determined, and I've learned and I've done it, and I went out there and sold shows and said, come on, come with me, let's make this. This is it, you know? And I'm really proud of this piece, and I'm really proud of the response it's gotten.
That is awesome. I was going to ask about that because it's really difficult, and it's finally getting the attention it deserves as far as women in film. And I think it started maybe a couple of years ago with Kathryn Bigelow and kind of grown from there. But there's such powerhouse female presences besides really good work this day. So good on you. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. Coming up as a producer, you know, I've literally done every job on a set.
That's awesome. I love that. And RJ, you've been a YouTube icon. You've been a social media expert as well. You'd worked in front of the camera the last few years. Let everyone know a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up, and how did you go from documenting your life to all that's happened since? I mean, you've moved in so many great areas.
I mean, well, what's funny is that you say, like, I kind of made a career in front of the camera, but the whole time I was also the one doing all the work sort of behind the camera, too. And, I mean, that's how it's been since I was a kid. I feel it's kind of redundant at this point, but, yeah, as a kid, I was – well, my mom literally had to put a baby gate up in the kitchen when I was four because I would follow her around the kitchen pitching story ideas. I didn't know what that was called, but she literally handed me a blank notebook. She handed me a blank notebook when I was like four or five, and, you know, I've been keeping, you know, idea journals ever since. And then, you know, it's funny because, like, I was a child, you know, grew up as the child of two Cuban immigrants. And so them, of course, being very practically minded, when I told them I wanted to, like, be a film writer or a filmmaker or whatever, they're like, that's nice, sweetie, but what do you really want to do? Don't you want to be a doctor? Don't you want to be an engineer? Wouldn't that be great? And I'm like, I guess, but, like, well, you can do that on your free time. And so that was. You know, that's them trying to, you know, love me in their way as far as, you know, trying to make sure that I wasn't going to be a starving artist. And then when I got to college and was studying media production is when I kind of learned about this strange website called YouTube that wasn't just cat videos. It was, you know, communities of kind of, you know, groups of people that didn't really find representation or community in real life. And lo and behold, you know, here I was feeling at home in this community and then also having the background in production and then also just not being shy about being in front of the camera because who doesn't love attention? I know I don't. So, social media has been a great space because it has allowed me, even up until this day, to literally do it all in front of and behind. And so it's actually been kind of surreal with this project because it's like, oh, this isn't like my project. This is someone else's script and I'm being directed by someone else. And I was always curious as to like how I'd respond to that situation of not being totally in control, but it's been such a collaborative environment that even though it's not like, it didn't start as mine, it still feels mine a little bit too.
Well, it's ours now.
Yeah,
we're all home.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
you've
been
had
insane.
To see
it's
a lot of changes because I remember
it's been so interesting to see what started off as a passion project, just like a side creative outlet that we didn't really nobody knew it was going to be an industry or it was going to evolve
right.
into what it became. But it's weird to see, like, not just how far we've come, but how far it's gone and how now it's you've got, it really has completely transformed the way that consumers and media outlets interact. And it's also been really fun as someone who has like studied media in an academic sense, but now I get to be on the cutting edge. I get to be on the front lines trying to hopefully be in, you know, the next generation's media textbook.
Right. And Kyle, that's your wheelhouse, man. I mean, you kind of specialize in millennials and their relationships and how it actually relates to technology through social interaction. How did all that insight help you create this series?
Well, one of the things that I majored in college was psychology. And, you know, I feel like, you know, us as millennials, we were a part of that budding, you know, journey of how we're communicating and how that's changing. And I remember when I got my first phone when I was 18, or no, even before that, I was 16. And I was the person that everyone hated because I was always texting them. And they'd be like, no, stop texting me. Like, just call me. And I'm like, no. Answer this one thing. You know, and so they'd always frustrated because, yeah, I was apparently, you know, charging up their phones. But, hey, I mean, you know, it was an evolution of instant messaging for us. And, you know, with AOL Instant Messenger and all of that, you know, technology that was, you know, part of, you know, my middle school and chat rooms and how that's evolved in our relationships now. And then also one of the things that I was thinking about too is how, you know, when it comes to, you know, everyone is creating a brand now, you know, everyone is marketing themselves in some way. And so I do have a lot of marketing experience as well. And so, you know, when it comes to looking at, you know, how we're presenting ourselves on Instagram or how we're presenting ourselves, you know, in any media capacity, because everyone is also now in front of the camera and behind it. And so that affects, you know, how we relate with others, you know, how we document, you know, our romance or the people we want to be associated with or the kinds of things that we want to, you know, relate to other people, you know, like with myself, you know, like if I want, like, so one of my hobbies is astrology, you know, that is one thing that I am open with, and I've, you know, kind of built a community and joined a community of people that are also interested in that. And so, you know, it allows us to be connected, but also, you know, one of the things that the series dives into is that it also separates us as well.
Gotcha. And Jessica, what drew you to the project? Was there an element that you really thought needed to be told or that you easily related to, or what kind of was your impetus for wanting to be part of this project?
Well, when Kyle and I connected, and I'm like, you know, okay, this sounds interesting, but send me your script. When I read the script, I knew I had to meet Kyle. And when I met Kyle, it was just like, I'd known him for years and years and years. It was like, this is happening. You know, and he was like, you could tell, like, he'd been working on this and working on it and working on it. I'm like, Kyle, I do this all the time. This is happening. And, you know, what I saw in it was it's very cutting edge, and it takes on topics in a very real and raw, revealing nature that other series are starting to kind of hint at, but they really don't understand. It takes on topics of abuse, unhappy marriage, infidelity. You know, it takes on what this technology is doing to these, to people who are dating, seeing your ex online, false rumors online, knowing who, you know, they're dating and how happy they look, and, you know, and you're just a click away from a one-night stand. And this is, you know, people aren't really addressing these issues in an authentic manner. And when I saw Kyle capture that, it was like, this is important. This needs to be talked about.
That's awesome. Then, RJ, you're playing Grant in this. I mean, a lot of your other projects, you were kind of the police officer, too, and party guest, and now you're the full-fledged co-starring role here. Talk about your character a little bit and give everyone a little feel of what the movie's about.
Yeah, they let me have lines. Isn't it great? No, I mean, it's funny because, like, because I, you know, come at the media from, like, sort of an influencer background, it's funny how there are so many people who kind of pretend like they get it or pretend like they're down with it. Like, digital video is a space that people have been kind of trying to break into for years and even talk about for years, and certainly isn't the first project or person that's come to me and saying like, oh, this is, you know, this series is going to be about, you know, social media and connection and what it does to us. And I'm like, really? Is it going to be? Because at the end of the day, yeah, the means that we're using to sort of communicate and you know, create and respond to content, like those tools are new, but the things driving them are timeless. There's nothing inherently new about the emotion behind the conflict or the emotion or the psychological, socio-political factors that go behind how we interact with each other. And that is what this thing gets right, is it doesn't get bogged down or it doesn't spend so much time trying to kind of obsess over the novelty of technology and social media. Like at the end of the day, what drew me to this and what showed me that Kyle really got it and that I needed to do my whatever I could to make this happen was that he understood that at the end of the day, it all goes back to those same human impulses, emotions, needs to connect, to feel connected, to love, to feel desired, to feel wanted, feeling rejection, feeling heartbreak. Like that is as old as, you know, human beings are, and it's why we tell stories. It's what,
right,
at the end of the day, what almost every story we tell is about. And so the fact that he got that, and it wasn't just obsessed with trying to sort of like portray this novelty of, oh, look, he's Snapchatting. Like that's what is on the money about this for me. And that's why, like, I hope we don't just get to do this season and we get to do 12 more seasons. Like, can I just like Grey's Anatomy style, can just be employed on this series for like years and years to come?
There you go. I love that. That's fantastic. Now, talk about, did you know Chris outside the film socially? How was it working with him, and how was it working with Caitlin?
Oh, okay. So I was familiar with Chris's work, and had already thirst followed him long before we ever had to like screen test together. And then Kyle told me like who he was getting to screen test and who I was going to screen test with, and I was just kind of like, really? Okay. They have such chemistry.
You all live in LA, doesn't know. Everyone in LA know each other? That's what everyone thinks back here in the stupid Midwest. You guys all like are at brunch every Sunday.
It's weird that the clicks can kind of separate you out. So it's one of those things where like you could pass by someone five times and not really know it until someone like introduces you or you're working on something together. But as far as, you know, Kyle's talking chemistry, like it wasn't hard because Chris is this statuesque 6'4" just demigod of a man. And so then Kyle's like, okay, now pretend to be in love with him. And I'm like,
okay. Well, no, the difference though is that like I didn't say to pretend, because the thing is that like the chemistry that they have, like literally everyone on set, including the crew, would come up to me and be like, oh my God, Kyle, I think they're falling in love. And that's the thing that I think is so beautiful about it, is that the vulnerability and the strength that they both like live together is so authentic. And that's what makes it alive and so real, because every time I see them together, I'm moved, and I'm the first audience that they'll ever get. And that's why I hope that, you know, through the teaser and through the seasons and through the story, that everyone's going to watch it and feel the kind of love that is transcendent.
That's awesome. Talk about the casting project, Kyle. Did you have people in mind, or did you and Jessica, like you said, like RJ was saying, screen test people, or what was your casting process like for this?
Well, so basically what happened is that at the end of last year, I had made a plan, and I'm a big planner, so I was like, I'm making this happen, and nothing and no one will stop me, because I believe in this, and I know that there's something really, really powerful here. And so I had just decided, it was like the first or second weekend in January, I think.
The second
weekend of January. So RJ and I happened to be in similar circles, and so that's how I'd met him before, and we kind of just kept bumping into each other. And so we were actually having a glass of wine, and I told him, I said, I'm making this project, and this is what it's about. And he literally said to me, he's like, please cast me. Like, please let me the opportunity to read it. And I said, absolutely. And so I followed him, you know, as a creator, you know, as an artist of the things that he does. And so, you know, I actually, the next day, I connected with Chris Salvatore. And so I had several people that I kind of had already been thinking about, because once I knew that, you know, these two, you know, wonderful talents, you know, would be interested in the project, basically I kind of wanted to build a cast around them. And so then also, you know, again, just through networking, Caitlin is someone that I have, you know, literally honored as an actress for years. She and I went to college together in the Midwest. And she and I actually acted together.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, yeah, we worked together, and I knew back then, I was like, I need to cast her in something. And so it just kind of became this experience where, yeah, it just happened organically.
And Maya's character is, you know, is just as important as Chris's character, because she's also going through so many struggles and, you know, things that so many women I know are going through, being unhappily married, trying to have this dream, trying to, you know, have all these things on the outside that look perfect, but you're not happy and you don't know how to fix it. So, you know, Maya's character is very important because, you know, she's following, you know, kind of the path of the traditional, you know, the traditional path to love, find a husband, have a baby, live happily ever after. And it's not working out. And, you know, now there's a lot of women who, you know, are trying to pursue that path. And they're like, I've done this, why am I not happy? And she's really going to take you through that path, because that's important too.
That's terrific. Now, have you just filmed like the sizzle reel, right? Did you kind of do the scenes per the reel for what you're trying to get accomplished, or do you have an entire first episode done, or how did you create this fantastic little sizzle reel you have?
We almost have a first season. We almost have the first episode completed. We definitely have a lot more, but we wanted to put the trailer together so people could get a feel of what the show's about and kind of gauge the interest, you know, because we are open to investors. But we definitely have a lot more footage, and we will be releasing a longer trailer, you know, when the time's right.
Well, and we have 40% of the first season already completed. So, you know, the rest of it, and we shot by location, you know, with a very strict plan with it. But however, you know, one of the things that has been such a blessing is that, you know, by bringing on Jessica Bryant, you know, she brought in an amazing crew with Jessica Ramos, our director of photography, who is so stunningly,
she's incredible.
She just literally blows everything that I've even seen away. You know, the heart that she brings into her cinematography. Well, she brought in a lot of equipment with us as well. And so, you know, we had all of these resources, and it was one of those things where we thought that we were going to start and create a web series, but we all laugh about the fact that we started as a web series and then it became something significantly bigger.
Oh, can I just also talk about how, Jeff Romo specifically, about how, like, she doesn't just make it look stunning, but also just the general atmosphere that, like, she, Kyle, and the rest of the crew created was just so comfortable, because this is one of my first chances to kind of like do some really heavy lifting acting wise and it's also a couple of acting milestones for me, in that, like, I've got nude scenes, you know, I'm in various stages of undress in a lot of scenes in this series. And so, you know, it was very intimidating, but then within a few minutes, like, it was such an open and collaborative and comfortable environment that I was eating lunch in my Skibs and was just kind of like, yeah, this is great. Like, why can't it just every day be like this? And that was why, like, it just, the uncanny nature of this wasn't just how, like, it sort of come together to make stuff look good, but now it's, it feels like a family now too. And that's another reason why we want this thing to finish getting funded too, because it's like, we want to see our family and friends again.
Right.
We are family.
And I really did want, I'm glad that you mentioned the cinematographer and everything, because it is beautifully shot, because you have a lot of interiors and that's really difficult to get color and everything balanced right. But it looked fantastic, because usually those dark interiors are very tough and can kind of make a story hard to go. But I think it just looks fantastic. The sizzle reel is amazing.
Thank you guys.
Outdid yourselves. So I love that.
Well, yeah. One of the cool things that happened is that I had basically storyboarded it beforehand on my own, because that's, I always do that with all of my projects. But then when I, you know, brought in Jessica Ramos, you know, we sat down and we looked at it, and, you know, we basically tore up the storyboard and then recreated it. And, you know, a big thing of the series is that it's all shot by the eye of technology. So, you know, we do have a lot of sequences that look like FaceTime or Skype or Snapchat, but ultimately we also focus on what happens when those computers and those cameras shut off and the things that we hide from the world that we don't want the world to see. So we kept filming in different ways from that eye of technology. So it's really exciting.
Awesome. I love that. Well, let's take a quick a minute, 8-second break here, because I want everyone to be able to listen to the trailer, because, of course, the beauty of radio, we're not going to be able to see it. You're going to need to check your YouTube channels for that, guys, and we'll give all that information in just a bit. But let's play the audio of the trailer so they can hear what's going on a bit. When we come back on the other side, I want you to kind of give an overall arch of the movie, and we're going to talk about this Indiegogo campaign you guys have put together that has some fantastic perks on it. So, guys, we're listening right now to 365 Days of Love Letters, and we'll be back on the other side. You're listening to Left and Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron, let me see your new place. I feel like Susie Homemaker, but hotter and in better heels.
Hey, Maya.
Maya!
What's happening? This is my big break. What makes me crazier? The fact that I'm trying to make him insane by not texting him first, or the fact that I'm talking to other guys when all I want is him?
All of it is crazy. Do you want his love, or do you want control?
Write me something. Like what?
I told Derek I'm lonely in my marriage.
I need you. I need your body. Where are you?
If he won't let me be the love of his life, I'll be the loss of his life. Games. Let's play some games.
And we are back, guys. I am talking to the creator of that clip, Kyle Thomas. We have Jessica Bryant, the producer. And, of course, one of the co-stars, we have RJ Ackler here. And we are talking about this fantastic show, 365 Days of Love Letters. Guys, I really do. I love that clip. It's fantastic. But now let's talk about the funding part of it. You have this amazing Google campaign. And you guys are thinking about $50,000 will hopefully get you some of the finishing touches you need to get the series complete, right? Talk about your goals here.
So we finished about 40% of it, and we have 60% left to go. We've definitely created several different perks that are really, you know, going to essentially, you know, bring people into the process and really, you know, allow the community around us to grow. And so, you know, we're looking at, you know, what we've done so far, and we're really proud of it. And we know that, you know, this is going to be able to, you know, really create a product that we're all really proud of that can really reach a massive audience. Jessica, is there anything else you'd like to say with that? Sorry.
Obviously this is our goal. We would like to get everything shot. We believe in this series. We are so dedicated that, you know, we're doing more for less because we're all putting our hearts in it. It's a passion project. We're all family, and we're all very committed to do whatever it takes to get this to our goal and get it out there for everyone to watch.
Well, of course, people have to realize that $50,000 right now on Kickstarter, A, you got to pay out all these perks. B, you have the cost of Indiegogo and your check cashing. So you're actually doing this for like $35,000 to $45,000. And to get the quality of work we're seeing in this trailer, that's a lot of work. And RJ, talk about your thoughts of it. And have you worked with a crowdfunding thing before? I mean, you've done so much different social media, you and Kyle both. How is crowdfunding to you guys? How is this working out for you? Or kind of have you had to learn about it? Or tell me about this process.
Oh, I mean, we've been I've been a part of a couple crowdfunding campaigns almost entirely for independent films. And what I like about this so much more is that for the crowdfunds for like films and stuff, like it was you know, we hadn't, you know, cameras hadn't rolled yet. You know, we hadn't, none of us had been on set. There was no sort of, you had to really kind of sell the abstract idea of the project rather than have anything sort of like tangible and concrete to show, which is why I really like getting involved with this project, because it's like you have a sense already of what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like in terms of the performances and the cinematography and the music and all of that. And I think another thing making this really unique is it's not just this series. We're doing original music around this. We're, you know, doing a lot of cool, interesting stuff with social media surrounding it. We've got fashion that's being designed around it. Like, this is pushing the envelope in so many ways. So it's more than just a series. And I think it's also worth mentioning that, like, people don't realize how expensive the TV they watch is. Like, the budgets on TV shows run into the million per episode easily, even on the low end.
Right.
So, you know, $50K definitely can sound like a lot of money, you know, depending on your sort of perspective, but it is pennies on it. Like, it's not even the budget that most, like, mainstream TV shows have for, like, cocaine, you know? It's not, it's,
right.
it dwarfs the budget.
Well, and one thing that I really would like to say, though, is that I'm very honored and thankful for everyone that has already, you know, joined our project and is supporting us, because we cannot do that without, you know, the belief and the support of other people. And so it's one of those things that makes me so grateful, because not only do we have a wonderful team whom I love and, you know, they love the project and they love me, but we also have a lot of people that, you know, believe in us and support us. And I'm very honored and thankful for that.
Just going back to your question too, as far as crowdfunds that I've been a part of before, like, yeah, I've helped crowdfund projects before, and it's one of the many examples I was pointing to of the power of social media and community that evolves around certain projects. But for this, it's like this what they're looking to accomplish for the amount that they're looking to fundraise is it's honestly mind blowing to me, as far as even though, like, and it's not just like an abstract sort of concept. Like, we know how we're going to do this. It's just, you know, we need to put gas in this tank. Like, the car's already built. All the parts are in place. Like, we just need some gas to get us to our next, right, you know, destination. And then we're just going to blow your minds. There's stuff here that could very well be used in text or talked about in textbooks later on, because this is pushing boundaries in a lot of different ways that it does. I don't even think it's really going to occur to people until they see us do it, as far as just figuring out, like, how to turn, you know, social media engagements. Like, they're not just, you know, a chance to market your stuff. Like, they in and of themselves are ancillary pieces of art that feed into this overall narrative.
And that's what 365 Days of Love Letters is about, ultimately, with, you know, the title. You know, it's the kinds of love letters that we're building, you know, for people and in presentation. And, you know, we have three original songs that we're actually releasing from the series. Envy by Katie Hansen and Jay Snyder. They are in the trailer, and people can get that clip, that entire song, for $2 as our initial donation. And then we also are writing two other songs. One, we're hoping to have Chris sing, and then another, Caitlin would be singing as well. And they will actually be the ultimate love letters that come from the first season.
And so it's like the narrative feeds into the song, which feeds into, like, the posts that are on our accounts, which feeds into, like, the clothes that are designed for it. Like, it all feeds from this, you know, narrative that is, you know, it is technically fiction, but then it bleeds over into the real world, which is really, really freaking cool.
It's super meta.
Right.
It's super weird, but I love that.
I love that. And like I said, the perks are awesome from what you said. You have exclusive music for $2, which is nothing. You have social media shout-outs, coffee with you guys, a walk-on role, producer things. A lot of really fun things that people can get behind, and they're actually very reasonably priced. So you got to check that out at Indiegogo in just a bit here. Talk about where you see the series. What's your arc in your head, Kyle? Do you have, like, X amount of episodes for this season? Do you have an arc for 5 seasons, or what's your writing style like?
Well, initially with this season, I had written it as 3 acts. So those episodes, you know, we're going to kind of play with how we're going to be splitting that up. I mean, it was written in one way, but we're creating something that has, you know, such depth and breath that the actors are taking with it. And I'm very, very supportive of my actors because I always want to give them a place where they can feel safe to make it authentic and real in every moment that happens, even in the darkest ones. One thing that is really important to me as a writer and director and creator is that I'm extremely collaborative, but I have to trust the people that are with me. And what I do is I empower those people to really, you know, have a voice and where they see that. And, you know, one thing that, you know, RJ and I have spent a lot of time talking about, as well as Jessica and I, is where these characters go. And, you know, Caitlin and I have spent time, you know, we've just sat down and talked about, you know, where Maya goes. And I have, you know, I have an arc that I already know for, I would say, at least 3 seasons. However, you know, with that, I'm going to, you know, trust the actors and the people that are living and breathing as these characters, because there's a lot of content that we can create together. And I want to trust our voice.
We've been creating it together. That's been the really fun part, is that even when writing this season, when I would just kind of ask him a question about Grand, I'd just be like, what do you think his motivation is? And then he's like, well, what do you think? And then I'd be like, well, I think that this and that. And then he goes, that's great. I'm going to rewrite this really quick. And I was like, oh, okay. And then now he's like, this bitch is texting me about, like, okay, so in season 2, I think you're going to meet such and such at this event or whatever. And I'm like, okay, wait, but let's
not give it away yet.
No, that's why I keep using all these, like, vague terms or whatever. But it is, I feel, I know I'm co-starring, but it feels like I'm co-writing it too in a lot of ways, just because he gives us so much space and, you know, we get to come up with all these suggestions and then, you know, I'll come in like, what if his motivation was actually this? And he goes, oh my God, I love this. And then all next thing we know, we're, you know, the arc is going in a slightly different direction, but it's all the more exciting, and I get to take even more ownership into it. So that's kind of why it feels like I'm not acting in a lot of ways, because it is, I get to shape it too.
Nice. And Jessica, talk about your perspective as a producer. Talk about what you feel your role is bringing to this project and what excites you about working on it.
Oh, I love these guys. I love everybody on this project. I mean, all of them just have touched a very special place in my heart. And there was one point when I'm sitting here and I'm on set, you know, producers are like, you know, with the AD, like, let's go. And I look over and I'm the director crying. I've got my actor crying. I'm like, well, I guess we're going to take a 15-minute cry break. You know, okay.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, normally but, it's her job to be like, screw your feelings, we have a schedule. But no, she hasn't been.
Well, okay. they just cried for 15
so
minutes,
so
maybe
tears.
3 minutes. But like,
no.
But like, yeah.
No, they were like, that scene was so beautiful. And I'm like, okay. Kyle and I really sat down because once we started shooting and we started seeing the actors kind of, you know, we did talk a lot about where we wanted the arcs that we wanted, where we wanted things to go. And, you know, we are definitely going to have, you know, new characters that are going to be coming on board. And we definitely have, you know, seasons mapped out.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of twists and turns and scandals that we've invented. And we're just waiting to unleash on all of you.
Meta. I love it.
I love that.
Talk about, besides Indiegogo, you guys are so strong in your social media and everything. If people can't afford it, sharing, it's a great way to go. I mean, how are you trying to build buzz about just getting your buzz out there with people? Because there's so many other ways besides money that people can help projects like that. So what are you guys looking
100%.
For? What can really help you guys out?
I mean, yeah, even if there's you know, not enough cash to sort of donate, like, seriously, share it to, even if you have just your 25 followers who are your friends, like, that is how virality works. you know, that is how trends online are born. It's not, you know, very seldomly is it just one post in one place that all of a sudden, like, everyone knows about it. Like, no, it has to travel through all of these different social networks. And so, yeah, like, even just sharing this, and not just sharing it, but also being like, this looks cool. Here's why I'm excited about it. Here's why like, making it your own, like, taking that slight ownership of it, you know, add to this passion, add to, you know, because that's what makes stuff like this so much more compelling and so much more of an experience than your kind of standard, like, oh, I'm going to go see a Marvel movie in theaters. Like, you, even just by sharing it and telling your friends why you're excited about it, you now get to own a piece of it. Like, it's yours. It's partially yours now. And you get to feed into the creative process. So it's not just you being a sort of passive observer or viewer. Like, you are a participant. And that is what social media is about, and about the overall sort of democratization of media and the overall sort of conversation, is that now you're not just a viewer, you're not just an observer, you get to participate, you get to join in, you get to jump in. So please,
exactly,
come on, jump in.
I can make you 100 tamales. Let me come on set and I'll feed the calf. There you go. Take whatever you can
please.
Get.
Oh, please.
We do have a cat.
Yeah, and we'll make sure you catered when I'm doing one of my nude scenes. How about that?
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, you do know I'm a foodie. There, you know the way to my heart there, RJ. Very good. So, RJ, talk a little bit about this experience in acting for you. Like you said, this is one of your bigger roles. How do you feel you've grown through this experience, and what's really got you excited for your acting part?
I mean, like, it's funny because this has been one of those, like, the project I've kind of been waiting for. Like, I've been kind of waiting in the wings for, like, someone to actually, you know, give me a chance to like, do some heavy lifting acting-wise. And initially, I've got to be honest, initially it was terrifying. Initially, because I'm reading through some of these scenes, and it's like, okay, nude scene, oh my god, he cries. And I'm like, okay, wow, this is happening. Like, I told myself I'd be ready, and now I'm staring down the barrel of it, and it's terrifying. Plus, I'm playing opposite someone who I know is an accomplished actor, because I've watched his work. It's not enough that he's just statuesque and imposing just physically, but then also I know he's got acting chops, so I can't be the weak link in that scene. But at the same time, like, I thought it was going to be difficult trying to be vulnerable in those scenes, but because Chris has been so giving, and because Kyle has been so giving, and because everyone in the crew has just been so awesome, it felt so easy. I feel like I'm almost being spoiled, as far as, like, I wonder if any future jobs are going to feel like this, because it did not, especially the way that Kyle sort of worked with us on not just an individual basis, but has gone through scenes and really just sort of talked it through and gone into the nitty gritty details and rehearsed and all of that. It just has felt like I thought it was going to be so much more challenging. I mean, it has been challenging in various ways, but as far as trying to sort of dig deeper, access those emotions, like, it's been a lot easier than I've expected. I mean, it's been trying in other ways, in that, you know, at the end of the day, when you are feeling real emotion, like, that does things to you. But as far as going there, it's been a lot easier than I was expecting, simply because everybody involved has been awesome. And again, like, he's like, fall in love with this statuesque demigod of a man, and I'm like, I'll try. It's not hard to fall in love with Chris on camera, because he's not just a beautiful specimen of manhood, he's also one of the sweetest people you will ever meet, and is just so giving and so generous, and had every reason to kind of be a diva and be like, I don't have to work with this wannabe, you know, YouTube star, but was the complete and total antithesis of that, and just was, you know, gave 100% every day. And if anything, it was like, I need to meet that level of just being present and being as generous as I could. And I think that's what you see on screen, is just sort of us getting rid of all the pretense and all the barriers, and just kind of being on camera. And from what I've seen, it's been working pretty well so far.
That's awesome. And for you, Kyle, which of your hats have you? Has the writer hat been more fun on this? Just being able to take these characters, or are you really liking the director hat, where you can kind of see it all come together, or is it all kind of equal to you anymore? How does your process go when you actually get into these movies that you're making? Do you feel you have more fun in the writer's end or the directing end?
I feel like I have to actually wear at least three different hats, specifically with this project. I wrote this actually 2 years ago in July 2016. And I, you know, took a bunch of time and, you know, had a lot of readings with writers groups and, you know, and just kind of like sent it to people that I really trusted and producers. And my original plan was that I was just going to write it, and then I was going to just, you know, facilitate producing it, because I do have a lot of experience with that as well. I did have a director whom I really love, and I am so excited about all of the amazing things going on with his career, and I definitely know that I'm going to work with him again. But he got funding on his major feature film, so he wasn't able to take it on in the time that we had basically discussed about filming. And so at that point in time, you know, I had directed, you know, a lot of different things and different projects as well. So I finally, I was like, I know these characters, I know this story, and I know how the technology is going to function. So I took that on, and, you know, I feel like it's a process for me, because I feel like, I mean, they're all kind of synonymous, but I mean, I love producing. But if I could hand some of that off to Jessica Bryant, I'm really about that. But I would definitely, you know, I feel as I love you. but I feel like the directing and the writing really flows from my heart. And Jessica and I were actually talking recently, and she said something about how, you know, I function very well when I, like, me, Kyle Thomas, am functioning from my heart, and she's functioning from logic and creating in that way. And that was something that really stuck with me, you know, when she said that to me a week ago, and it meant a lot, because I feel like we're balanced, and I feel like she and I are yin and yang, except we understand both sides of that, because we've done all of that
before. Well, for me, there was just never a doubt. For me, there was never a doubt about Kyle being the director. I mean, when I first came on, you know, I knew that, you know, he might have been open if somebody else wanted to come in, you know, with you know, some kind of background. But there was never a doubt that he was the right person to direct this. And,
totally.
You know, because his vision was so strong that, you know, if he had let anybody else direct it, he would have been like, no, you don't understand. No, that's wrong. And, you know, it was his vision and his authenticity and the realness of it that, you know, is what the story is. So there was just never a doubt in my mind that he's the director. And he'll say the director.
I'm going to second that. Can I second that and third it and fourth it? Because Kyle, so obviously, you know, I read the script first and then, you know, would talk about it with him, you know, in rehearsals and stuff. And as someone who I'm also a writer, I consider myself a little bit of a writer myself. And, you know, reading – Kyle writes like a poet in the sense that every line that he writes is so dense. And so, like, he especially in this series, he did so much with so little scene and so few words. And so, you know, I read the script and definitely got, like – I got the tip of the iceberg, but then just talking about it with him – and about all those emotional beats that he wanted, like all of a sudden, like I'm getting all of this stuff that even I could have read the script 3, 4, 5 times and like maybe gotten a sense of it. But then he just put it so succinctly and sort of guided us through all those sort of that emotional subtext that he wanted into every word. And I guess in theory, someone could have done that or accomplished that. But I don't like because I've gone through that whole process with him and also collaborated with him from a story standpoint. I don't see how anybody else could have pulled it off. So yeah, I just, he will hopefully, like I said, hopefully this can, you know, live on for years, and he can keep directing us for years, and we can all stay on for years, and we can just, he can just Shonda Rhimes all of us into like many, 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 many years of this and similar spinoff series.
There you go. Well, guys,
I
want everyone to go to the Indiegogo page. Go to Indiegogo.com, real simple, IndieGogo.com. Search project 365 Days of Love Letters. There's some fantastic perks there. The Left of Straight show is going to match up to $100 in donations. So go ahead and send me your receipt. Show me your receipt. DM me for your receipt. And
I want to see the receipt
up for $50.
Thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate
thank
everything.
You, yes, thank you so much.
You have been so wonderful.
Well, it's
and
my pleasure.
Right
and
LA.
Exactly. I'm going to have to come
down.
We're going to have
right
to have a cocktail sometime the next 4 weeks. I'll be down to LA a couple of
that
times.
That would be amazing.
I only have to do my show 2 days a week. And RJ, you can even keep your shirt on. I don't care. It'll be fine. We'll just have a cocktail. That's all I'm looking for.
Oh, I mean, I guess. Where's the fun in that?
Oh, God. Well, guys, thank you so much. We've been talking today to the fantastic team of 365 Days of Love Letters. Kyle, Jessica, and RJ, it's been fantastic speaking with you. Please let all the listeners know where they can find all your social media for it.
So all of the accounts for our production are under our 365 letters. So that is our Instagram as well as our Twitter, and as well as our Facebook as well. Our website is www.365daysofloveletters.com. And that's
yours.
The main one that I've been really focusing on is, I mean, I do a lot of stuff on Instagram. It's at Mr. Kyle Thomas, so Mr. Kyle Thomas. And if you would like to find me on Facebook, I'm Kyle Thomas, like wearing like a white shirt. And,
and I'm like, I'm trying to be cute, but hopefully it's working.
So, anyways, I'm going to pass it off to I love him.
Okay. it's our OUR 365 letters is our, like I said, our show stuff. All of my handles are Damn It RJ, DammitRJ. That's me.
I love that. And Jessica, can anyone follow you, or you want to be left alone?
I'm good. I'm good. I'll let these guys stay in the spotlight.
There you go. Once a producer, always a producer. Well, guys, it's been fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the Left of Straight show today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for having
man.
Us. Thank you again.
All right, stay on the line for me, guys. We're going to play out with a little bit of Rebel 11 Blocks. When we come back, we'll wrap the show up, talk about the big gay road trip out to Palm Springs. You're listening to the Left of Straight show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
11 blocks from my door to your doorstep. 3 years later and it feels too close. I thought I broke the last of that breakdown the morning I sold your winter coat. It doesn't feel right when I'm grabbing a coffee. The same old spot but I'm on my own. I feel okay in the day but at night time, you know how I get when I'm alone. 'Cause my mind won't stop, sister. Myself counting on the way. Right when I stepped in the door to the party, I stepped outside to grab a smoke. You know how I get when I'm alone, no. 'Cause my mind won't stop, sister.
someone and I think I'm in love. But my mind won't stop, it's just healing and flop. I know that you're home, it's Friday night, you're not that tough. I know that you're home, and I'm next someone, and we're all in love, but I'm two blocks away, just like a drug, my mind. Door to your doorstep. 3 years later, it feels too close.
All righty, we are back. Guys, thanks for joining in a all new Left of Straight show. Thank you very much to my guests, RJ and Kyle and Jessica. Please go support that Indiegogo campaign. You can look it out, indiegogo.com. Search for our 365 days of love letters. And it's a really great project that I hope you'll support. I will match up to the first $100 donated by my listeners. Just DM me over your receipt and I'll match it as well. Guys, the big gay road trip is on. Follow the hashtag big gay road trip on my social media, on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Left of Straight. That's at LeftOfStr and the number 8. On Facebook, it's the Left of Straight Show is our page, and you can send a friend request over to myself personally at Scott Fullerton. We're going to have some great guests, a great time. Hopefully, I'm pulling into St. Louis any second now while you're listening to this. Sam, again, appreciate you being in the control booth there and making sure this happens for us. You guys have a fantastic rest of the week, and look forward to that first big gay road show live show in Palm Springs, California, Monday, August 6th, and it's 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio.